Good morning. It is Friday. It is also the last show of 2024. Next time you see us, it'll be 2025. Unless, of course, the drones that are in New Jersey end up being aliens just doing a preemptive check, a reconnaissance mission, and actually the aliens are coming, and this Christmas will be very, very different because we may be taken away and our anus is prodded in fancy ships that hover above the earth. Who knows?
I have worked too hard this year for my anus to be violated now.
All right. Well, then Ben will put up a fight when the aliens try to prod his anus. But maybe you won't, and that'll be the last we hear of you. I don't know. They could take you away. Flex told me this morning he still hasn't lined up his December bonus, which is our code for a piece on the side. A holiday romance, if you want to be a little more genteel the whole thing.
Nice, Flex.
Yeah. Are you working on it, though? I mean, have you put in any effort? All right. So as soon as the show's done.
How many options are we looking at here, Flex? Right, three or four?
He's got a few, juggles a few. Yeah. Flex is a good-looking man. He can get any woman he wants.
Oh, that's why I asked three or four. I mean, if James said bonus, I'd say, what's her name?
So speaking of... speaking of trying to find a holiday romance, it wasn't really the point, but Ben went to the rugby on Saturday last week.
Yeah.
And then he said to me and another mate of ours, he's actually been on the show, we need to go and check out Pretoria, but you wanted the full experience.
Have a nice out. I just wanted to have a night out.
And we started off, and it seemed like every other time, because we went to the same place that we went to once. We had lunch there once with Drikas.
Yeah.
Right. So
there.
At that point, you were like, this is comfortable. I know this Pretoria. And then I got a wild look in my eyes and I said, no, we need to go to a new place and take Ben and force him to explore a different side of Pretoria that he hadn't yet.
So I've heard of these mega clubs in Pretoria. I've heard of Padstow. I'd never heard of a place that you then bundle us into an Uber van for.
Along with two girls who... We're a little like deer in the headlights. Yeah, they walked into the place.
They were disappointing, though. Oh, they were so sour.
You win some, you lose some.
It was the start of the night, and those girls were sour.
You think so?
Oh.
All right. Well, I tried. We got to a place which I was really thrilled. Yesterday, I finally reached the point where I can say I've been acknowledged as someone of influence in this country, because I was actually featured on their page on Instagram.
Yeah. You made it to the story with your double sip cup.
That's right. Stutbull is the place's name. Apparently, normally, they have an actual bull in the middle of this sort of kraal, I think you can call it.
So that's the most amazing thing about this place. You walk in and it's really big, but that's just like the entrance holding area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you walk around the corner and then literally like the Colosseum of Afrikaandom. Just opens up. I mean, it's like I could only. It was like being a gladiator. There's like four floors of people drinking brandy.
Yeah, yeah. Tiers, different levels.
Tiers to it. Then there's this massive stage, and then there's the crawl in the middle where everyone's windsurfing. You could not have scripted a better Afrikaans jaw.
That's
actually my element. I have no Afrikaans DNA or blood in me, but
you thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's a culture.
It's what you wanted. And it was not disappointing.
No, it was a great night.
There was an artist. There were lots of people sokiing, as you said, long arming, which was amazing.
It was like a 1-to-12 barefoot to shoe ratio as well, which I also thought was quite impressive.
In fact, one of the people that we went with, a guy who we just met that night, who joined us, I still don't know what his real name is.
His real name doesn't suit him. It's like Thomas or something. So
we called him Puerta.
Puerta.
Because he had size at the place before, he'd already held up his disgusting foot and said to us, "Look, kyk hoe groot is my pote."
Yeah, I also missed the part where he was showing us his feet and why he was doing that.
Yeah, and he was wearing these what would you call them?
The average pluckies.
Pluckies, but they were big. They were enormous. The 13, I think, is shoe size.
If Puerta's plucky was at the Titanic, Jack would have survived.
Right. So we took Puerta along, and he discarded or lost his shoes at some point and then just took to the dance floor.
That okay?
Like, I mean, really, like Fred Astaire. No, the Afrikaans Fred Astaire. He really was. He surfed around where the bull would be. By the way, the bull was injured.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't a bull, so they turned it into another Soki Aria. And there were tables in the middle there, which must be the VVIP, as far as I could tell.
No, but there was oak that looked, that like come from the place. They were in the car keys. But Porter, this oak, every time I looked up, he had a new girl on his hand, and he was like twirling them. You know when you go to like an Afrikaans wedding and you get a couple of those worms that they just know?
They know what they're doing, yeah.
Porter's that oak, okay. Cheapers, he must have twirled about 40 chicks that night.
Oh.
Didn't hook up with any of them, which is also kind of a weird thing. Maybe that's not the modus operandi.
Maybe it's inappropriate in Afrikaans
to get to know the parents, that kind of stuff.
But I did find an incredible cup. They have these plastic cups which fit into each other at the handle.
Yes.
You can make a tree of them.
Well, they have to be because you can't give someone glass because people are dancing barefoot.
That's true. And then also, obviously, you want to be able to carry many Brunneveins at once because you're bestelling for the whole tafel, you know. And then you also have to sometimes get past other people and it'll be bumped. So they're quite clever. I've never seen these before and I was very impressed with them. So just show that video of how it fills up. You see me drinking there, the top one, then starts to cascade into the bottom one.
I mean, there's and you can keep drinking. In there.
It's quite clever. I think that's the first time I've ever had a drink from that.
Like, this place was so organized and it was so fun and the vibe was so cool.
Yeah.
They're showing rugby on the big screen. Heartthrob Brendan Paper was playing. I mean, they have all the big acts.
I've never seen him perform before. In fact, I honestly didn't know very much about him at all until we saw
all
him perform.
But
the girls screamed.
They filmed him.
Yeah.
There was like.
So while you were at Chris Brown, that's what we were doing. But you know, and girls were screaming for Chris Brown too, but this time not because he was hitting them. This time because he was actually performing.
It was such a cool place. It's so fun. Yeah, Kurt Darren, I think's there on New Year's Eve.
In fact, I did get a message from Kurt that he's going to be there for New Year's Eve. So, you know, it's always that possibility, Ben, if you're out of ideas.
And then you walk out of there, then you're just in a shopping mall like anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, suddenly you're not in Pretoria anymore, you know? It's a bit like The Wizard of Oz.
It really, really was. But I'm so appreciative that I got to experience that.
Well, this is the time of year for adventure, isn't it?
On Monday, I was in the Atta Wrapped office here, and I was chatting to Sydney and Tanya, who you had on the show.
Yeah.
And I was telling them about this.
Mm.
And then this guy about two desks away turns back at me like knowingly, like, yeah, I know Stuart Bull.
Oh, wow. So now you've been accepted into circles you wouldn't have previously been.
But this like looked at me. He was having like a boring Monday. He looked at me like his eyes lit up. Like, yeah.
And Flex, by the way, because I know what you're thinking, there were actually some black people there. There were. It wasn't like
maybe not December bonus type, but I mean,
yeah, I don't think like you'd necessarily pick up the bonus there, but I do think that it was a very worthy exploration. So I said to James this morning, I am extremely excited, not because I'm having no fun on the show or because we're not doing interesting things here and we've got big plans for the upcoming year, but because I can switch off my alarm for just a couple of weeks. You know how nice it's going to be.
Yeah.
Right, guys, aren't you excited too? Oh, switch off that alarm.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to this fucking thing. In fact, I was thinking this fucking thing, I might just switch off for the whole of next week. I don't have to worry about anything. I've got to go to Cape Town for a wedding.
How do you liaise with a December bonus, though?
You see, I don't have one. That's Flex's problem.
Yeah,
I don't have a December bonus.
That's the thing, though, because the bonus is mostly online orientated.
No. So here's my plan. My whole week is planned for next week. So
this is my plan. It doesn't involve a bonus.
No, listen to this. So Monday is the day before Christmas Eve.
Yes.
That's the day that we do. So it's mostly family time, right? 23rd, everybody cooks. And by everybody, I mean my sister's boyfriend, my dad, and my mother. My sister and I are no use at this time at all, but we're there for moral support. So we just lie around.
That's exactly how they see it too.
Yeah. We say rude things. We play Christmas music, but we're kind of like the supporting staff, right? And then usually my brother and his wife and the kids will come and they'll play their part too. Christmas Eve's the big one for us. So 24th, we get together. There's a big dinner that night. That's all the stuff they've done on the 23rd. Then we open our presents on Christmas Eve. The kids especially love that. Get to bed quite late on the 24th. Wake up at leisure. Of course, this is not true if you have the children like my brother. Yeah. He has to wake up super early because, you know, even though I think they're just playing along at this point, they, you know, waiting for the surprise gifts from Father Christmas. I really doubt, especially the elder one. He's very clever. He knows this is bullshit, but he's not going to lead on.
How old is he?
He's 10.
Yeah, 10 is
he's
like.
He's caught on.
I think
he knew 2 years ago, but he's just staying mum because his December bonus is more presents.
Yeah, different, right? December bonus.
So far, no need for a phone at all. Christmas Day, we do a big lunch thing, extended family, lots of friends. Then by Christmas night, the 25th, I'm done. You've eaten yourself to a standstill. You've got presents lying all over the place, some of which you're thinking I can recycle these into next year. There's always a cupboard for that, right? And then you can, to me, that's like, yeah, you could draw a line under the year 2024. I'm done.
Amazing.
Because after that, the minute the sun rises on the 26th, you don't know where the fuck you are. And it stays that way until the 2nd of January.
Pretty much.
You don't know what's going on. You don't know what date it is. You don't know what time it is. You don't care about the weather. You don't care about traffic. You don't care about what's happening in the news. You pay no attention to anything. It's like a week that gets sucked into the vacuum. Anything could happen, could be very exciting. You could do some wild and dangerous things, or you could end up doing nothing. There could be an entire day or two or three where you don't really move very much. It's an incredibly unproductive time. And while I'm somebody who likes to be productive and who enjoys getting shit done and likes to have a busy schedule, that week is just into the void. Am I right?
You've just described my next 10 days, basically, yeah. I fly down to Cape Town tomorrow and then out to my parents' place. And then, yeah, that's it. I get back on the 30th. I play golf on the 31st. Back to Stuttgart. No, I don't have any New Year's plans just yet. But
neither do I.
Make worse decisions than going back there.
So I did see some interesting things. It's amazing how people think it's okay to be fat, says a friend of mine. Yeah. This is a big deal. In fact, I found a book. This I thought would interest you. I didn't send you this picture, James. It's not really that interesting. But I thought this could be a hilarious Christmas gift if you can get them to deliver on time. I mean, you're really...
Yeah, it's a bit late.
It's a bit tight now. But I thought this would be such a great gift. And I might just actually... There are a few people... You've got to be very choosy about who you give it to. But it's by a woman called Virgie Tovar. Yes, that's her actual name. She's just been appointed the fat acceptance ambassador for the city of San Francisco.
By whom?
It's an actual job.
Other fat
by the mayor of San Francisco. The book is called... Now, imagine you on Christmas morning or on Christmas Eve, if that's your thing, you're unwrapping your gift and it's a book from me and you think, oh, that's nice of Gareth. And you open it up and then it says on the cover, you have the right to remain fat.
If you want to live less days, yes.
I mean, wouldn't that be a great gift?
That's the subheading.
Yeah, I think it would be a great gift.
Fuck these people. It's just bad advice. You can't have a fat acceptance. You're basically telling people to live terribly.
Yes.
Like, grow up now.
Yeah. You're encouraging them to have a very low quality of life.
Yes.
I'll tell you again, I've got into a lot of trouble over the years for being mean to fat people. I don't allow them in my house, et cetera, et cetera. But I have done the Lord's work in that I'm the only person who will always tell them the truth about the fact that that's not going to be better. Your life's going to be shittier.
Only one that cares.
Things are going to get harder. You're consuming more than you should. Oxygen and there we go. You have the right to remain fat. There's the book. Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be a lovely thing to open up on
Christmas morning? They should take Virgie Tovar to The Hague. It's a
human rights abuse.
It's human rights abuse. It is.
And
you're not living your potential.
And I will say this, Ben. I think you'd agree with me here. The only fat people who will always have my respect, always, are the ones who I encounter in the gym because they're doing something about it. Yeah. Not the ones who sit at the red. Whoa! That's what she looks like?
She looks...
Sweet Lord Jesus.
She looks like a child was given clay and had no eye-hand coordination.
That is no December bonus for anyone. In fact, that is a December D-boner.
But again, I mean, like, We live in a free world with free speech. Go ahead. But someone like that can't be telling people what to do.
That is a, that's what you call a face like a smacked ass.
That smacked ass has been left in the sun for about 3 years.
All right.
Cookie dough.
But let's not get distracted.
Yeah, well, that's what we mean.
So here's the thing. If you go to the Kruger Park, you don't see a whole lot of obese Impala, do you?
Zero.
You don't?
Zero.
I think it's... And the breathing, let's just address that too, because I don't know if you watch a lot of videos on social media. I'm assuming you do. I'm assuming we all do these. That's where we get our entertainment these days. Nobody goes to TV like they used to, or the radio or the newspaper for their information. And if you watch these videos, you hear the breathing. That's the sound of lungs. Desperately fighting for a space in between all the adipose tissue.
It's right? The sound of strain.
Strain. And pain. Deep pain.
I've never met someone that go, oh, I lost all this weight and I'm really just so unhappy.
Yeah. That's the proof that you always wanted, right? Is that every fat person who loses the weight always turns out much happier at the end of it. And people used to say to me when I was a kid, no, you must be nice to fat people. They're jolly. And some of them are. But think of how much more jolly you'll be.
I just think it's selfish. Like, if you are a lone wolf in life, you're doing your own thing, nobody cares if you live or die, sure, go ahead, be fat. But if you've got people who actually want you to stick around and be active and present, especially if you've got kids.
yeah, because you want to be there to see them graduate from school and that sort of thing.
Gary Player said it best last time I saw him.
Yes, how's Gary? Because he has a lot to say about this. Gary famously will walk up to people he doesn't even know.
Look, Gary, I know there's a circle of trust, but I've got to share it. Like, he's always trying to help people play golf, like play better in these days and this kind of stuff. And this fat guy hits a shot, and Gary's like, you know, like, well done, whatever. As the guy's walking away, Gary's like, probably not going to make it the next 5 years.
So famously, you've seen him do this. He walks up to people who have fat children.
Because he cares. This is the thing. It's like people say, oh, what a prick. He genuinely cares because that oak just knows what life's about.
And he walks up to these kids and he goes, you shouldn't eat that if they're having a pudding or something. And then he turns to the parents usually and he says to them,
never just one with those little fuckers.
And then Gary says to the parents,
tell them the second pudding because the first one's already on the hands and the corner of the face.
The reason we bring all this up at this time of year is because you're probably going to indulge over Christmas and New Year, which is fine. But understand that when you start the new year, there's a perfect opportunity to have a whole calendar of 12 months to sort your shit out. All of us can. We can all improve. I can improve. God knows I'm trying. I went to gym yesterday. I went the day before. I'm gonna go every fucking day.
You've been going a
lot. Do they close over the holidays? Because that's one thing I can do even on those void days.
There'll be certain days, but then find a Jewish gym like mine.
Okay, well, then I'll do that. That sounds good. A Jewish gym like Ben's. We got the comments section alive and well this morning, and you guys have really okay. I have been very critical of the comments section, but you guys have been absolutely stellar this year. Some of the funniest things that have come out on this show at any given day, any show, any time, anywhere, any subject, any guest have come from the comments section. There are some people in here who genuinely are like the writers of this show. They provide us with some of the best
blue
material.
Ticks for certain people.
Oh yeah, I think we're going to introduce a comment section hierarchy next year. We tried that when we appointed
Ruthless Rebel.
Well, I know her name, but I didn't know her moniker, right? So Rebellious Ruth was made the chairperson of the comment section, and she relinquished that role. And I think we put Congo Chris in. I'm not sure. I don't want to interrupt the flow of power through the channels.
It's like Lord of the Flies. You never know who's actually got the biggest spear.
It really
is.
It's really who can be the most horrible. But I think we should adopt some ranking hierarchy where people have certain colors of ticks that they're able to just blot out other posts and so on. I mean, real, just total hierarchical domination, old medieval style. You know, I'm a king, so you're just a peasant, off with your head. Mm. You don't get to comment for the next 5 weeks, that kind of thing, you know? I think it really could be fun to watch that.
That'll have to be a software upgrade in the functionality.
We could work on that. Yeah. I mean, considering we've just ironed out a few of the technical details on the actual show, we don't want to jump too far ahead of ourselves, but we have big plans. I'm going to join Ben's program in the new year, says Conga Chris.
What program's that, Chris?
Perhaps going to Afrikaans places.
Oh, now, yeah, fuck.
Or the exercise regimen, which people Chris, still hold you up as an example.
Chris, I've actually made a program. Drop me an email, ben@therealnetwork.com. Yeah, Chris, go for it. I actually made like a how to get your shit together program.
Yeah.
I did it because I wanted to condense the 3 years of my learnings, and I'll give it to you for free because...
Well, you helped me out the other day. I arrived here with an back, like an old man, because I'd picked up something badly, and because the core strength wasn't there, and I've been working on that in the last few weeks.
Yeah, in combination with everything else, it makes you fun.
Yeah, trying to get that right. So listen, we can all help each other, and that is the point of this show, in large part. Also, the point of the show is to talk complete shit. And this morning, our producers... Flex and James have found us something interesting about Taylor Swift, who it's really been a bit of an up and down year for Taylor. In some ways, she has done very well. She's probably the best selling artist in the world, right?
Amazing feat. Well done.
The Eras Tour, I think, made her an absolute killing in money and fame. But of course, her endorsement politically is worthless. We learned that Beyonce and Taylor Swift have no say when it comes to trying to persuade people to vote, which is exactly right because they're artists. You know, the king's jester at the court doesn't get to sit in on council meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's also derailing the lives of lots of women through her stupid songs.
She's
prolific, and I
She has
that.
Derailed the lives of so many women, and I think that she's also she's made this football player Travis Kelce. She's
infiltrated the NFL, which I think was the most disturbing.
Well, shows you how the NFL is susceptible.
Yeah, but
to the wilds of Taylor Swift.
I mean, we saw it when Minky Fund of Estes and was dating sports people.
Yes, that's
true.
And
those other swimsuit models got in there. Sometimes it's a bit of a PR job.
That's
and,
a very good
you know,
point.
The one hand washes the other. The NFL might need some of that kind of new blood, although she's not exactly new blood. But, you know, it's entertainment. Everything
where's that visual you had for us on Taylor? Here it is. She's the person of the year, according to Time magazine.
Wasn't Trump person of the year?
I think he was man of the year. I don't know. Was he? Anyway, they've changed
like
their mind.
DJ Sabu thing. Like they just make their own covers.
I think maybe, yeah. I think like DJ Sabu made his own cover. This is probably what happened. Taylor Swift, person of the year. Sorry, Ben, it's indisputable. There it is.
It's not indisputable. Donald Trump, he avoided assassination. The greatest comeback of all comebacks. He's now going to be the ruler of the free world again. He's influenced more people than anybody else. He's the biggest celebrity. It's not Taylor Swift.
Well, the millions of
Taylor
screaming
Swift could
Swifties will disagree.
Taylor Swift could have a somewhat of an immaculate conception and rebirth Michael Jackson.
Oh.
And still would not beat Donald Trump this year.
Okay. Well, high stakes indeed. Just what you don't know and what most people don't know is that Taylor Swift has a younger sister who's also a singer. And I'm going to play you. This is an exclusive.
What's her first song? In the Shadows.
So I'm going to play you an exclusive viewing. And she's got a Christmas song, which is coming out. This is Taylor Swift's.
December bonus.
Taylor Swift's younger sister. Take it away, James and Flex.
And if you ever saw it,
all right, stop.
You would even say
so that is Taylor Slow. Taylor Swift's much younger. Taylor Slow, that's her name. All right. And I think that's the version of Rudolph I would like to sing this Christmas. So when we're all sitting...
Warms the heart.
Wherever you are on Christmas Day having your Christmas lunch, South African style, outside, you know, watermelons, that kind of shit. I want you to go, Rudolph the Red Nose. Rah! Okay. Happy Christmas, everybody, in advance. It's my favorite clip in the whole world. I've been sending it to everybody. Some people don't respond very well. It's a great way to sift your friends. It's a great way to see who actually has a very dark sense of humor and who you should never talk to again. I have learned some lessons. It's just like the Christmas book. You know, you have the right to be fat. You drop that off under the wrong Christmas tree.
It's right to remain fat.
Remain.
As in she wants you to be stuck in that body forever.
But you know, it'll be really funny is to give that to a very thin person.
Yes. Someone who you know is battling to put on weight.
Oh, man. You can just see I'm getting a little manic towards the end of the year, but there's nothing wrong with that. There will be much drinking over the next couple of days, so do not be driving at the same time as the drinking.
Yeah.
And if you could just avoid any roads at all, because it's just, even in Joburg, it's much quieter. It's a lovely time of year to be on the roads in Joburg. Great. But the Metro Police are out everywhere, and they are going to try and get some money out of you. They don't care about the safety of the roads or whether your car's roadworthy or whether you've got your seatbelt on or whether you saw the sign that said 100 that they'd crossed off and made 80 that they could set up their camera and fine you a huger amount of money.
In many ways, you are their December bonus.
You are their December bonus. So don't let them have it. I say give them nothing. I say give them absolutely zero. And if they do pull you over, just go, Rudolph the Red Nose, rah! And they might just let you go because they might think that you're Taylor Slow. I saw this and it's old. It's an old one, but it's a good one. If Nigeria was where they made Disney movies, mm-hmm. And it's just one short clip. It's not even that great, but it brings Christmas joy to my heart. So here, the Nigerian Snow White, how it would be dubbed in Nigeria.
Why are you running?
Why are you running? It's just great. It's too good.
Have you said that to Ruda?
Her appearance on the show has got to be one of the highlights, right? I know you did some awards on The Bounce the other day.
Yeah, this week's show was the On The Bounce Awards. Next week's show is the Year in Review. We dissect 28 episodes.
That's phenomenal and definitely worth watching. Fresh episodes of On The Bounce all the way through the holidays. So you will not be left with a dearth of new content.
Okay? Well, we're not going to be on the 2nd of January.
Oh, well, I mean, who is? Tweede Nuwe Jaar in Cape Town. No, I mean, that's basically, you just see the people on the streets. They don't even get up. They're so drunk. I remember a guy, I was walking in Cape Town because I had to go and I had to make a speech to a bunch of Stamford students who'd come out. And they didn't know about the 2nd of January. And they were in Cape Town, a fully paid for trip. And they wanted to know about South Africa. And I'd been asked to come and speak to them. Because a friend of mine had arranged the whole trip for all these. And there were like 20 Stamford. Jesus. That I struggled to get. Because they have the Klopsa that walk through. So everything's cordoned off.
Yeah.
So you can't get an Uber for miles, right? Luckily, I never really drink on New Year. So I was absolutely fine on the 1st and on the 2nd. But I did a marathon. I had to basically run around Table Mountain to get to where these people were. And on my way, I encountered a dude who'd obviously had 4 or 5 Nuwe Jaars because he was lying on the paving with his cock out of his zip. He'd peed, and the pee was starting to run down the street because he was on an incline.
Oh, wow.
And another guy who was also gone, totally like either tick or brandy and tick or brandy or a combination of those.
Dirty as well.
And the other guy was taking the passed out guy's wallet out of his pants while he was lying there.
Wow.
And I just watched this and thought, yeah, you know, I don't need to get involved. Go to the other side of the street. This is not a good thing. The oak had passed out, but he'd been conscious enough to unzip his pants and take his cock out so he could piss there. And while I think he might even have been in the act of pissing at that moment that I walked past and tried to get away. And the other oak stole his wallet while this was happening. Just unbelievable. And people say Cape Town is so civilized. You actually got to clean up your act. That would never happen in Joburg. Here they'd knife you in the throat first. Be careful out there. It's a very weird time.
No, I just always wanted to stay away from Cape Town in the festive season. I grew up there.
Sure.
I have no interest in going back there.
I've got to go down for a wedding.
What day is the wedding?
The 29th. Now tell me, do you think that that's evil, or do you think that it's good?
Well, maybe it's one of those things like, well, everyone's on holiday there anyway, so we're just not part of your jaw.
Yeah, but I'm not, so I have to fucking fly down. And let me tell you,
where flights, is like in the winelands?
Yeah, well, it's in Constantia.
Oh, cool.
No, very nice.
Yeah, flights are going to be a kick in the nuts.
So I saw they were playing cricket in Newlands yesterday.
We'll get into that in a second.
We will. But here's the thing. I had to book the tickets. My fault. I left it to the last minute.
Yeah.
To be perfectly frank, I was thinking about whether or not to go to the wedding anyway. I was weighing it up and thinking.
A close friend?
Yeah. No, he's a good mate. We've got a mutual friend in Bossy. And,
so
he's mates with him. And I've known him from Trev. Yeah, Trev.
Trev?
Yeah, Trev's getting married.
I thought he was married a long time ago.
No, he's getting married. Awesome. Lovely girl called Vanessa. It's going to be lots of fun.
Lucky girl.
Yes. And so I'm going down for that. And accommodation is like hen's teeth. So that you're looking at, you know, for 2-3 nights, you're looking at 7,000-8,000 at a minimum. The flights there and back. Yeah, have a guess at what the flights will cost to Cape Town, down on the 27th, back on the 30th.
Are you going on Lyft or FlySafair?
Doesn't matter. Just pick your airline, guys. Throw a number at me.
Yeah, I was going to go.
It's about right. 8.5 is about right.
I was going to say 8.5, yeah.
I made a deal with Sydney here in the office. She had a voucher from when she canceled the flight. She gave me her voucher. It knocked off like 1,700 off the price, which was very good. So I thought it's meant to be. So I booked the whole thing.
So but I booked in July. 2-6.
Yo. Okay, July for now.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very smart of you. Yeah, see, so that's
shows
planning.
To your point, like the last minute versus planning.
That's very good, Ben. I appreciate that. That's excellent. And again, we're learning from you. It's great while I've pissed away almost 8,000 rand on just the flights. Anyway, Congo Christmas says, in the spirit of Christmas, Gareth should say something nice about Port Elizabeth. I have a friend there. I have a friend called Greg, who's married to a lovely woman called Jade, and they have two lovely children, and they live in Port Elizabeth.
But like, do they, or do they live outside of PE?
No, they live there. Greg tries to get away as much as he can. He says for work, but I mean, it's PE, right? I did drive through PE a while ago. I landed there on my way to a birthday party, which was in Plett. And that drive is beautiful. Once you're out of PE.
Yeah, we should.
Once you're well out of PE, then it really does get fly very to George. Beautiful. Fly but to I think George, it's the yeah. But it's the contrast. You see, if you're in the toilet with the turds, then once you climbed over the rim.
Just being in the rim.
Everything looks beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Everything's
from
a new
the rim,
dawn.
Much better than being in the bowl in the actual pan.
Yeah, I know, fair.
You know? Fair. Anyway, that's about the best I can do for PE, but thank you, Chris. Tried my best. I absolutely did.
Oh, people go on holiday, I'm sure.
Rudolph the Red Nose. That's all I have to say about that. I agree with Ben. I grew up in Cape Town, says Patrick. I'm here now, but I'm out of here on the 26th, purely for family.
Yeah, nice.
Not into this place at this time of year.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Mel says, I live here. I'm trying to get away. Is that PE or Cape Town? Oof.
Just for the holidays or in sure. life in general, Mel? Fair question.
Signet said, I paid 17,000 rand for a family of four over Christmas, a return, and I booked around August. Yes, that's a lot of money, hey? 17 grand. How many kids do you have? Family of four? So that's two kids, right? I don't know how parents can. I mean, I'd say to the kids, you take the bus. Mom and I are going on the plane.
Make some friends.
Yeah, make some friends, learn how to struggle a little bit. I really do believe if you're under 10 years old, you should not be allowed to fly on a plane unless the people flying the plane are your parents and they own it. Really, I mean, kids should not be flying on planes.
Makes them scream as well.
And they must take long, arduous, boring road trips. Forces, you know, being bored is actually massively important. I remember saying to my mother when we were kids, I'm bored. And you'd usually just get a clap. But what it did is it forced you to read or to learn or to listen.
Take
or
a magnifying glass to imagine, set fire to ants.
To imagine. Like you do interesting shit because you were bored.
Yeah.
You didn't have something to occupy you the whole time. Kids need to be bored. They're all too fucking busy these days with these things and those things. And
yeah.
They must get bored. If kids were more bored, they'd develop the imagination. The imagination is what we need. And frankly, a bit of bullying. Elon Musk would not be the richest man in the world if he hadn't been bullied nicely here in South Africa. So let's take credit. All those horrible oaks who were mean to Elon at school. I know you're probably embarrassed and ashamed now because he's the richest man and you still...
Well, they're still fixing cars. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fixing cars and yeah, exactly. We won't rub it in. But actually, I want to say thank you to you because you've made Tesla, Starlink, all of these amazing companies that he's got such successes. You made him such a success. A little bit of bullying goes a long way.
Just getting back onto this Cape Town thing, and this is the time of year where people always bitch about this kind of stuff.
Sure.
But at the same time, people take such great pride in when you see things like Cape Town voted best city in the world to travel to.
Mm.
This is the price we pay for these things.
Yeah.
This is always comes back to this whole thing about nice things.
Well, Cape Town is an international venue. Tell me why you hate it in December. I need to understand.
It's so absolutely congested. And it's just far too busy. And that's just not my life anymore.
I
don't seek that at any time of year, least of all in the time that I want downtime.
Yeah, I'm very pleased I'm not going to be spending New Year there because that's also just very, very messy. And I'll get out just before New Year.
For buying piss at bars. It's not fun. It's arduous for me.
Guys who bullied Elon are now selling heel fit biltong in Pretoria. That's probably true.
Probably not. They went to Pretoria boys at a decent time. They're probably family money.
Bronwyn says, when my six-year-old son says he's bored, I say, congratulations, you're a part of the few left that can get bored. He has zero devices. He will be a future billionaire. You know, I think we're the last ones, hey? I don't want to be funny, but I hope someone finds this video in like 30 years' time. We're the last ones who weren't joined at the hip to these devices the whole time.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't joking when I said, I think I'm going to put this away for the course of this next week. Like even from this weekend, I can put it away. There's nothing that's going to happen. I'm not the Pope in Rome. I'm not Donald Trump. Nothing's going to burn down. You know, all these people who are like, so I got to have my phone. What if there's an emergency? Like who's phoning you? It's always these people who you would never call in an emergency who tell you that they need their phone in case there's an emergency. And then they're always like this. They're messaging up a storm. There are some people who they just can't live without that thing. I think we're the last ones who can manage.
Or at least have an understanding of what balance could be.
If there was an electromagnetic pulse right now and it just destroyed all the networks and everything was down for, let's say, an extended period, a couple of months maybe, worst case scenario, right? All electronics out, gone, done for, let's say, half a year. I think people they'd go dilly. They wouldn't know how to survive. They wouldn't know how to behave. There are already people who are so intertwined with their device. And God help us when Neuralink comes along, another Elon invention. But when that comes along, you won't be able to switch it off. It'll be enmeshed in you, right? And I reckon the problem is those people will not know how to make a fire. They will not know how to change a tire.
Gareth, I read something yesterday, and again, like take it with a pinch of salt because you read it online, but there was this college professor who was interviewing a kid about something.
Yeah.
Smart kid, great CV, early 20s, like very accomplished and smart, all the right things. But in a conversation, the guy said it was like the kid was buffering. He couldn't finish sentences properly. He would have ideas, and then he wouldn't know how to finish the kind of things. And eventually he said, like, are you okay? Like, there's something just not, like, you take these odd pauses.
Glitching.
He's, like, glitching a bit.
Mm.
And the oak just said,
a drug addict?
Oak just said flat out, I use AI for pretty much everything. I know how to create prompts, and then I use that information in certain ways. But then take the screens away and have a conversation with them.
Disaster.
And I think that's going to happen with a lot of people is that you constantly wait to get fed things, whether it be entertainment, dopamine hits, information, instructions.
Well, the oak who's pissing and had passed out on the street, He's not worried about that. He'll be okay.
No, if he just curb his drinking, he'll be fine.
If he could curb his drinking. Yeah. By the way, Bitcoin Butt must think I'm a bit retarded because he puts up the same message. Is James getting producing homework for the time off?
I think he just really wants you to acknowledge his point.
Okay, so James and Flex have also deserved and earned their time off. They've worked very hard. You don't know, comment section, you ruthless fucks, how hard these guys have worked. And trust me, there's been a lot of pressure, right? Huge amount of pressure. I've had temper tantrums.
Respond there because James is already doing this.
Yeah, I mean, they get the fucking full heat of all of my anger when things don't work out. You don't see you've seen me lose my temper, but they've had to deal with the brunt of it. They deserve some time off. In fact, James, you going down to Jeffrey's Bay? You're not. Maybe for your birth. So what are you doing for Christmas? You're going to sit in your place on your own? Maybe invite Flex and his December bonus over? A bakuzi.
Flex,
what a good idea.
Flex,
you know someone who has a bucky.
You've got to go December bonus plus one now.
Yeah, shame. Flex, maybe you should let him third wheel with you when you go out on New Year's Eve to Stutbull.
Flex, this is the time of need. You got to play it up here.
Oh, my God. We know how long it takes to send mail through the post. No cell phones, no Netflix. We would get fines for not rewinding video cassettes. Do you remember that stuff, says Goon?
Better time.
Yeah, what a time. Absolutely.
I also watched this thing the other day. It was like a study in a school where they took all these 8-year-olds' phones away.
Yeah.
8-year-olds got a fucking phone.
Yeah, my nephews don't, and I'm proud of my brother and his
but
wife.
These kids became more attentive. They were happier within a week.
Look, it's more obvious social. if you spend a certain amount of time on that thing, it's going to pull you down. You're going to get depressed. It's going to tell you all of the things that you aren't and that you aren't doing and that you don't have, and you're just going to be a misery.
Especially this time of year. So you're going to see people with better holidays, better presents, better partners.
Yeah, the ones who are posting nonstop.
All this shit. Like, look who we are. We're having the best time. December, the best, guys. Yeah. Reward yourself. Get fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Do your living in the real world.
With the people you care about.
Right.
If you don't have those people, then it'll inspire you in 2025 to actually make better connections.
I mean, we don't need to tell the comments section this. They're in full agreement.
Of course, totally.
Last weekend, says Mapelo, I attended the most epic music festival I've ever attended. The Anywhere Festival was insane. They even put on the coolest promo I've ever seen for Squid Game 2. So apparently Squid Game 2 is all the rage. I've seen billboards all over town. I never even watched Squid Game 1. So
I
can miss this.
It'll go out on Boxing Day if you do not care and you want to just watch screens for your holidays.
I did see a promo for the new Superman movie, which is, I think, coming out in the middle of next year. That looked pretty good.
I saw a promo for the Avicii documentary.
Avicii?
Keen to watch
He's
that.
Still a thing?
Well, no, he died.
No, he's dead. Yeah, I mean, none of his music's still being played anywhere, is it?
Well, he committed suicide at 28. But this whole documentary is about how he was this, like, introverted, like, basically, what just a basic gamer, geek kind of guy who made music.
Mm. And that all Was he also up. Scandinavian or something?
Swedish, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
And that all blew up because, obviously, music's in his blood. And then he didn't know how to deal with the life. And he was making so much money. He was headlining everything.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to hear his music. And then I think it just went, like most things, it just fried his brain. And then he just sort of having, like, put narcotics on that. There's a lot of speculation. That's why I want to watch this documentary.
Sounds good.
It's, yeah, I mean, like, you never know what fame would be like if it smacked you in the face like that daily. It's so heavy, like, so much. Like, this kid has no social skills. He gets anxiety when, like, sitting in a room with three people, and now the entire world, like, requires him, desires him.
There are a couple of DJs that I'm just amazed are still around. They've outlived Avicii. I mean, you showed me a clip this morning.
Avicii, 28, so he outlived by anybody. I've outlived him. Do you know how old David Guetta is?
No.
I found out that David Guetta's 57.
No.
57.
No.
Yeah.
He's so old.
David Guetta's 57, but Fat Boy Slim?
Fat Boy Slim.
What do you think?
Maybe if David Guetta's in his 50s, maybe he's also
61.
No,
but what makes it worse, okay? And again, that's him.
He looks like
he's 61 and he's still making. So he's got this thing on YouTube called Elevator Music where he's in an elevated thing.
Oh my god,
and he's DJing like he's in
Ibiza,
Brighton, where he fuck, I don't know.
So that's Fatboy Slim, huh?
When I was DJing in my 20s, my biggest fear was being a DJ in my 30s. And then he's made so much money, he's given so much value to a whole bunch of people. He's sure. The final generation of house music. But he's now 61 and he's still giving it the big ones. And that,
well, good for him. Good for him. Some people would say that's excellent.
It's a weird look though.
I remember landing once at I was probably early 30s and I landed at Durban Airport. I saw a big like poster of Matric Rage, which I was gonna go to, and had like fresh on it going, "Hey Matrix, I'll see you at Rage." And I thought, I gotta get out of this. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but I knew already at that stage that fresh was probably what, 43, 44. And I thought, I don't wanna be doing that.
Yeah, money's great,
like an old DJ is a sad thing.
But an old DJ is like
it's a very sad thing.
It's one thing if you're playing in clubs and it's a particular kind of place, but this whole
I don't even know if it just clubs are
just,
a thing.
It just looks weird for some reason. I could be being unnecessarily mean here, but old DJs, it's kind of like old strippers. The heart's there.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't really
and
want
the experience. High level of experience. Yeah.
Knows what's going on. We'll give a good performance. Aesthetically, not what you came for.
Old stripper.
And when I see Fatboy Slim giving it the fucking big ones with like young women behind him, and he's, like Bilbo Baggins when he was so... Like, when he was so yucks for that ring, and yeah. then he aged because the ring keeps you young, and then he was old and he was like snappy for the ring. That's the vision I got when I watched Fatboy Slim DJing.
Snappy for and you get the same from an old stripper.
I don't have
cash.
I've never
that's
really
there. That's there.
I don't go to strip clubs. I've been to a few. In
well,
my
there
lifetime.
Aren't a lot of old The point is, the old strippers don't have a place to go. You know, I mean, no one's in the market for that, really.
Yeah, but there's just something about youth and packaging as things where I'm going with this. Fatboy Slim's music and his DJing, all that kind of stuff, it's great, but on an audio level now. It's like when David Attenborough does nature documentaries.
Yes.
It's mostly narration. You don't see a lot of him.
No.
You don't see him in Patagonia with his shirt off.
No.
Like... bronzed and going, these turtles are and
no,
because he's old. Odd, yeah. you hear his voice and you get his insights.
I think that's a good point, well put. You don't need to see rapping grandpas, says Goon. That's also a good point. Hey, a lot of these rappers are in their 60s now, you know?
Yeah, and they're all hiding because they're pedos and they've been defiling young boys and stuff. Circle of life. I mean, look, I'm not gonna be a hypocrite here. I don't want to be online and 5-8 years time, probably. I'm really sharpening up here. I mean,
sharpening.
I wake up on a Friday morning. I've got like fucking checkers under my eyes here. It's already quite rough, and I'm not terrible just yet. But it's
all right, so enjoy Ben while he's still on screen, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a time frame here. I'm going to be honest.
I think you're probably right. You should grandfather yourself out, literally and figuratively. Okay, so speaking of that, let's not end this hour without some sports. So what have we got coming up? Because this is a long window into the future.
Look, there's rugby, there's football, there's cricket.
You be paying attention to? You can't watch all of it.
No, you can't. But like the football's cool because it goes into like the days where you're at your fattest. And that's the great thing about having live sport when you are the most sedentary. So the Carabao Cup is obviously getting played at the moment. We now have four semi-finalists. Spurs have gone through Arsenal, Liverpool, and Newcastle. Man United, sorry, Flex, they tried to come back. Spurs also tried to lose, but didn't happen. But yeah, Premier League, big time, Ham. So if you look at the top four, currently Liverpool on top 36, Chelsea 34. Liverpool do have a game in hand. Arsenal are stuttering around in third place and 30, and the Nottingham Forest are 28 points in fourth. Man City in fifth place, 27, then Bournemouth, 25, Aston Villa, also 25. But then there's a whole glut of teams just trying to push through. So tomorrow, Aston Villa, Man City,
like huge old
game.
Strippers
trying to push
trying
through.
To get back on just, the
not
stage. There.
They're not top flight anymore. Tomorrow, Aston Villa, Man City, 2:30. Of course, we all know Pep Guardiola has just been horseshit. If you look at the results since late November, basically mid November, Man City would be the worst team in the Premier League. They're just getting absolutely hammered left, right, and center. They have no way of getting out of this. West Ham, Brighton at 5, Ipswich, Newcastle at 5, Brentford, Nottingham Forest at 5, and then Crystal Palace taking on Arsenal at 7:30. That's the reverse of this week's game. In the Cup, Arsenal had them at home. They won 3-2. Now Crystal Palace will host them in the league. And then Sunday, Everton, Chelsea, big one. Chelsea doing so well. And it's like everyone's second team now because they're exciting. Expectations were kind of low, but they're cool. They're fun to watch. Man United taking on Bournemouth, the resurgence of Man United. I mean, they beat City, but everyone's beating City at the moment. So that'll be at 2. And then Spurs, Liverpool, big, big game for Sunday at 4:30. But there'll be games in and around Boxing Day. There'll be games leading up to New Year's and on the 2nd. So much to enjoy. Cricket, that'll also be a big deal because the Boxing Day Test match has always been a big thing.
That is. I think that's fair enough.
New Year's around there. I think the game started about... It's a bit late. They start on the 3rd. They should start on New Year's Day.
When are they? Where are they doing that? Sorry.
So the Boxing Day will be at Centurion for SA versus Pakistan.
Centurion, okay.
And then at Newlands, obviously. But like, they should start on New Year's Day because everyone's having a fat jaw. It'd be a great way to start, but they have it like on the 3rd or something stupid like that.
Yeah, it's because we know a lot of cricketers are also professional drinkers, so they need that day to recover.
These cricketers, fuck these oaks. I try to get up for this. I try to get excited for them. So if you look at this ODI fixture list right now, right? They played in Paarl and they lost. Fair enough. Last night they played in Cape Town and they lost. Gutless performance again. Henrik Claassen's the only oak that looks like he wants to bat right now. But holiday goers go to these games because they want to be entertained and they want to be excited about something. Sunday is the pink ODI. Yeah, like it's the biggest ODI of the year, that sort of thing. And they're having it the Wanderers. Now, a lot of people who are going to go on Sunday might not be able to afford to go to the coast and do those kind of things. So they put their chips on this game, right?
Right.
Can the Proteas at least go in there 1-1 to make it a decider? No, of course they fucking can't. They've lost both games now.
So nobody cares.
It's a dead rubber. The series is already decided. And they're going to limp in there with their Protea fire and their Wazza Naza, whatever the fuck they're trying to push. Just win games, man. I mean, it's just so... You should see him in the field yesterday, dropping catches, bowling like shit. I constantly try to be positive about these guys, but then I always think there's a family now going to go watch this game. There's nothing on it. It's just sad. These oaks just like, you know, I don't know who the captain is. Temba Bavuma comes back yesterday. He's the captain. We spoke about this on my show earlier. You can't have the smallest oak in the team who's the most soft spoken as the captain. It's just stupid. Tough times. What are you going to do? Everyone looks down to 4'3" and like gets inspiration. No, guys, just
what are you
man up?
It's like the dwarf from Lord of the Rings
it's
being in charge
so
of the companionship.
And
right?
This is the last rant I'll ever have about cricket because I actually retired from these oaks. They are so disappointing. And sure, there's like guys who are trying. I get that, but the team is just so fucking useless. I mean, like I've got a good enough handle on the English language to use better words, but they're just fucking useless. So that's cricket. Enjoy it.
Thanks.
Let's get back to rugby.
You've sketched a lovely scenario. There's rugby.
Let's get back to rugby. Okay, so in the last couple of weeks, the SA team's been playing this Investec Champions Cup, and they've been getting hammered. Mm. Like, it's one thing to go and play in England or France or whatever, and you're playing those conditions against good teams. You play on those AstroTurf shitty pitches or whatever, and you take a dicking. Fair enough. But when you lure the teams back to South Africa, where they get mesmerized by the braai smoke and the sound of the screeching tunnies, it's go time. You don't lose then. You've got everything you need. And the way the Bulls just rolled over last week against those English Oaks. Again, like when you see it's summer and these ginger guys are playing with confidence. They feel so at home. That's when you know, like, no, we need to make it more abrasive. So they've all done terribly in that. But we're now back to the United Rugby Championship, okay? That's where we now play the Scots and the Welsh and the Irish and the Italians. So we have a better fist of this. So that'll be back on. We've got local derbies now.
Sorry, Tracy says Temba Bavuma is what you get when you order Sia Khaleesi from Temu.
Fair. That's it. But this is the thing about the Proteas. Rant reignited. None of these oaks inspire much. They just don't inspire me. I know cricket's a very different sport. You can't blitz a guy and lead by example. You've got to bowl line of length and do these different things. But There's just no moments of inspiration from these oaks.
Bitcoin Butt says, I started watching cricket during the Hunsie season, and I ended watching when Mark lost his eye. Wow, Charlie.
Decent time frame. Oh. But I'm so tired of hearing so many people say, used to love cricket, I just don't care anymore. That should actually just be a shirt.
Barbara has a big axe to grind with you. Says, you mean height determines leadership? Hmm, she says, sarcastic.
Barbara, presence. I mean, Napoleon was short, but the oak fucking spoke a good game and he did something. Oh. Look at the Proteas. They forced Quinton de Kock to be the captain. That oak can barely say five words. Not because of it. It just doesn't want to. Temba Vubu was made. The oak is the most soft-spoken. Like, you need someone that's going to grab balls here is where I'm going with this. And unfortunately, guys, you know from high school, this small fucking quiet kid wasn't the captain.
No. The rest of the kids will tease him when the teacher's not looking.
Anyway, back to rugby. Much better. Yeah, so big derby weekends all round, okay? So Ulster versus Munster kicks it off tonight at 9:35 at the URC. Then we got the Italians going at each other, Benetton and Zebre at 3. Stormers versus Lions. The Stormers need a win here. Oh, they need a win. They've been so terrible recently. That'll be at 3:45. So if you are in Cape Town and the Proteas disappointed you last night, I reckon that game of rugby will set the ship right again. And then Sharks versus the Bulls at 6. Another fantastic match to watch on Saturday. Ospreys Scarlets, you'll give that a skip. But then Leinster Connacht at 7:30. That's also a biggie. And then Sunday, the Scots are playing each other. Warriors versus Edinburgh at 5. And then these games will go into the festive season. It's just wonderful. And if you do like the golf, it is the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open currently in Mauritius. So that's a snapshot of your sport. But you got to go onto the On The Bounce show. We did the awards show this week. So we have 10 categories. We wrap up the year by basically having the best of the best of the best. I'm very proud of the show. I think we put a lot of work into it.
Absolutely.
And superb. I think it's a good watch. So watch that.
Go and take a look. If you don't, you are missing out. And frankly, I think it's great that there are so many very cool new shows that will be played out during the next couple of weeks. So make sure you don't miss any of them.
If you don't watch the On The Bounce show, you're basically like the Proteas. You're just not trying hard enough. You're missing out. You're a disappointment to your family. It's not a good move.
All right. Well, coming up in the next hour, we are going to be rejoined by somebody who you've been asking for in the comments section. You've been saying, like, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? I will reveal all, and she will tell us all the updates when she comes back in just a short while. Don't go anywhere.